34, no tax.
An Alabama professor who didn't get tenure decides to go on a shooting rampage. Now all the details are starting to trickle out. Her husband, shocked that she was capable of such a thing, said he still loves her. She apparently went to the range and was practicing up before she decided to go and hunt her prey, sadly. In the meantime, boy, oh boy, the Democrats are worried about this one. Big news on the Hill today. Senator Evan Baugh is not going to seek a third term. So the Democrat from Indiana is not going to go for it. Once again, a very, very popular among his party, but also creates an opening for the GOP. So what's up with Senator Baugh? Why is he booting politics, at least on the Hill? Here's what he said, folks, earlier in the day.
I've worked with Democrats, Republicans, and independents alike to do the nation's business in a way that is civil and constructive. I'm fortunate to have good friends on both sides of the aisle, something that's much too rare in Washington today. After all of these years, my passion for service to our fellow citizens is undiminished, but my desire to do so by serving in Congress has waned. For some time, I've had a growing conviction that Congress is not operating as it should. There is much too much partisanship and not enough progress, too much narrow ideology and not enough practical problem solving. Even at a time of enormous national challenge, the people's business is not getting done. Examples of this are legion, but two recent ones will suffice. 2 weeks ago, the Senate voted down a bipartisan commission to deal with one of the greatest threats facing our nation, our exploding deficits and debt. The measure would have passed, but seven members who endorsed the idea actually co-sponsored the legislation, instead voted no for short-term political reasons. Just last week, a major piece of legislation to create new jobs, our nation's a top priority today, fell apart amidst complaints from both the left and the right. All of this and much more has led me to believe that there are better ways to serve my fellow citizens, my beloved state, and our nation than continued service in Congress. To put it in words I think most people can understand, I love working for the people of Indiana. I love helping our citizens make the most of their lives, but I do not love Congress. I will not, therefore, be a candidate for re-election to the United States Senate this November. My decision should not be interpreted for more than it is, a very difficult, deeply personal one. I am an executive at heart. I value my independence. I am not motivated by strident partisanship or ideology. These traits may be useful in many walks of life, but unfortunately they are not highly valued in Congress.
Wow, this is a giant hole in the side of the Democrats, because there is one person who could challenge in Indiana, a guy who's a business owner for a tiny, tiny cafe. But really, on the ballot, what will be, I think, choice here is going to be the GOP candidate. So with Bonner saying he's not going to seek re-election, it brings up a lot of questions. And particularly, he did say nothing was getting done on the right and the left, but this is bad news for Barack Obama. We know the House seats are up, and now this giant Senate seat staring the GOP, daring them to take a bite out of this. And there's a very, very, very good chance that they could jump on this. So, you know, why all of a sudden? Some people are speculating that perhaps he wants to be, you know, he wants to again be the Indiana governor. Or is it a case of he's being pushed that maybe the White House isn't out of his grasp? Or maybe it's just a case of I'm tired of all this crap. I'm like the regular people. I'm sick of it. Nothing's getting done. I'm tired of the whole thing. So I'm really honestly doing what I'm saying I'm doing here in this little news conference. I'm going to bolt. I'm done. I'm not going to go for the re-election deal. So he's bowing out of the 2010 race, saying it's pure disgust that is sending me. I'm just tired of it. But wow, his whole career, most of his life has been in politics. So that it seems a little flaky. It seems as though there may be something else he's trying to grab, like the two things that I threw out there, president or possibly governor, if that. So the GOP is looking pretty good here, especially when you think of who could possibly step into his shoes on the Democratic side. And it's a woman who, as I mentioned, owns a tiny, tiny cafe in Bloomington and hasn't ever run for a big kind of political stakes, high stakes game, you know, office. So even when she was running against the popular incumbent at the time, because she's done it before, but didn't have much of a chance, and that was Bob himself, boy, you just have to assume that there's a great chance that this seat gets flipped big time. The Republican candidate is Dan Coats, who actually held that seat before Bob won it 12 years ago. So this is huge, huge news. We can see everything tipping in D.C., the frustrations and people weighing their political options, worried about what's going to happen to their seats based on what this past year has been like with this new administration. Name of the show is America Tonight. My name is Kay Delaney. If you just happened to tune in, you were flipping through the 70s tunes, or you had on your Sirius and you just got bored with it and decided to go to talk radio, welcome aboard. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, we're going to talk about the happiest cities in the U.S. Did your city make the list? I don't know. You might be surprised by a few of them. I will tell you this. I lived in three of them, but I don't live in one of them now. There's a big hint for you. Also coming up on this show, we'll talk about a huge news as far as the capture of a major Taliban chief. This is big. Now, maybe there is some reality in what we've talked about forever. Can you really defeat the Taliban? Can you really knock down that elusive thing called terror? So by capturing one of the most important Taliban figures since the Afghanistan fracas began, this is huge, huge news. Also on the heels of those 12 civilians being killed because a rocket veered off course, This is good news to happen in the wake of that, to soften, sadly, the blow of those civilian casualties that have President Karzai enraged, and a lot of people talking about what's going on in Afghanistan and what about the collateral damage. So knocking down one of the top military commanders for the Taliban in this joint op by the U.S. and Pakistani forces in Karachi is just absolutely, I can't even tell you how huge it is. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 plus 10 plus 10. The guy's name, by the way, was Mullah Baradar, and he is one of the main level guys. I mean, he's like a spiritual leader, and he has close ties to Osama bin Laden. And so you wonder what kind of information can possibly be gained, or what will he give up, if anything? CIA's very mum on this. The Pentagon also pretty silent on it, although I'm not surprised by that. But doesn't it give you hope that this thing could maybe be winnable to knock down the Taliban? Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about security. I always thought that the Taliban or Al-Qaeda or the terror roots would go through computers and try to knock us off the grid and that kind of stuff. So we're going to talk about security issues and something wacky happened with ATMs. That's next.
How would you feel with normal blood pressure? How would you feel with a normal cholesterol reading without the drugs? What if you could avoid bypass surgery? Would it not be nice to have your heart beat regularly again? To have a sex life again? All these benefits and more can be yours when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. But please, don't take our word for it. Listen to what our customers say.
I've been on the Heart and Body Extract since 2006 and will remain on it for life. Thank you, Heart and Body Extract.
Read more of these amazing testimonials at HBExtract.com. Your effective effective 100% organic herbal treatment for heart and body health is now available at hbextract.com. Get Heart and Body Extract at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Look for free bonus 1-2-1-3 at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract today.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realist, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Rock Creek gently flows through the parkland of Washington, D.C. until it meets the mighty Potomac River in the heart of the federal city.
On the other hand, Rock Creek Free Press is a fiercely independent newspaper that's not afraid to print the truth. We print the stories that others won't touch. The 9/11 cover-up, media propaganda, government corruption, state terrorism, and violations of our constitutional rights. The Creek is a completely reader-supported publication. We accept no corporate advertising, no corporate influence. For a free, no-obligation issue of The Creek, just go to rockcreekfreepress.com. If you want copies for your local 9/11 Truth Group, send your request to editor@rockcreekfreepress.com. Rock Creek Free Press, not afraid to print the truth.
Call them at 301-452-0090 today.
Debit card. When you're going to Target or Saks Fifth Avenue, even to get your groceries. I mean, very few people I know carry around big wads of cash anymore. In fact, usually the problem is they have no cash. It's all on the cards, whether it's the debit card or the credit cards. But primarily, people are using the debit card. So who better to have back on this show to talk about some of my biggest fears than Robert Siciliano, security consultant to Intellius.com. Go there, check out the website. They have some great things that you can sign up for. I was just doing that a while ago. Intellius.com. That's right. Right, Robert?
That is correct. Thank you.
In talking about the debit card thing, it's so true. I looked around today just because I knew you were coming on and we were doing this whole thing about security. And I went to a couple of different places, from just a simple tennis shop to a grocery store to, I think it was Macy's, and everybody was using cards. Nobody's pulling out cash. So that's the first thing. I mean, we know we're all using the cards. You scared us to death last time you were on. But now apparently there's a way that criminals are buying ATMs online and they're, is this right, setting them up to steal your debit cards? How are they doing that?
Yeah, I actually bought an ATM machine online. Anybody can do it. There are no regulations whatsoever. The ATM industry allows anybody, whether you're a criminal, you know, felon, convicted of a crime, or just a man on the street, you can buy an ATM machine off of Craigslist. The one I got was $750. And when I got this ATM machine, it had over 1,000 credit and debit card numbers on it. So they're actually selling the ATMs with the data on it. You know, that's how unregulated this industry is right now.
Wow. I mean, we got to do something about this. What can you possibly do? You got to who do we complain to?
Yeah, I've done all the complaining I can do, and I'm still complaining. See, here's the problem. This is an unregulated industry that allows this to occur. You have to be licensed to buy lock-picking equipment, but you don't have to be licensed to buy and dispense cash, buy an ATM and dispense cash. So the one that I got, you know, with 1,000 credit and debit card numbers on it, we rolled this thing in and out of Boston, and we put it on street corners, and immediately people went up and started using it. You know, and people are just, you know, naive to this. They have no idea that this is going on. So I recommend that if you ever see, like, one of those independent ATM machines at a convenience store, at a gas station, outside of a building, especially if it's outside of a building, I don't recommend the independent ones. If you're going to use one at a bank branch, okay? And even if you're going to use one at a bank branch, you still can't trust that one either. ATM skimming is a huge problem. It's a billion-dollar issue. And what ATM skimming is, it's when the criminal hacker has a device that looks like it fits on the face of the ATM machine. It has the same color of the plastics, the same, it fits right over the card slot like it belongs there. And when the unsuspecting, you know, ATM user puts their debit card in, the skimmer skims the information off the magnetic strip. It literally grabs that data, and then with a small pinhole camera, they will shoot the pin pad so they can get your pin code as you're punching it in. So now they have the information off the magnetic strip, they have your pin code, and what they do is they go back to the ATM machine later on, like 5 minutes to midnight, they had taken that data and they burnt it onto what's called blank ATM cards, white cards. They burnt the information on there. Now they have functional ATM cards with your data on it, and they have your pin code from the small camera, and they drain your bank account. So 5 minutes to midnight, they take the maximum dollar amount, which is usually like $500, and then after midnight, they do the exact same thing. And they'll do this until you either notice it or until the account's drained or until they shut it down.
Wow. That's scary. ATM skimming. And same thing. I mean, not regulated. Criminals find a way to do this. And, okay, so then there's a big rip-off that goes on, and somebody alerts the police and the banks and whatever, but you're still out your cash until they crack down on it.
And they just caught three Bulgarians in Boston, and one of the guys had $99,000 in 20s. Now, where do you get $99,000 in 20s? You know,
from the ATM.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and they caught them just before they were leaving the country. And, you know, they caught one guy on camera, and fortunately, there was actually a local Boston cop that was one of the people that was scammed, and he was part of the investigation, and they caught the guys. But, you know, a couple of years back, they got away with $400,000 over a 3 or 4 month period of time. So this is one of those things where you're not going to know this is happening to you if you're using an independent ATM. You're just not going to know because, you know, no regulation, anybody can do it. If it's a bank ATM machine, even the bank tellers and the bank managers aren't all that aware of the crime. I had done a Fox News segment over the summertime, and there was a guy in New York City that was using an ATM machine, and he noticed that he was having a hard time getting his card in and out of the machine, and he actually pulled the skimming device off the face of the ATM, right? So now the skimming device is in his hand. He walks into the bank branch, shows the manager. The manager says, "Thank you. Have a nice day," and he left. And then he remembered that there's two parts of the scam. There's also a small camera. So he gets back in line at the ATM machine, and he remembered there was a camera, and he pulled a small mirror off the face of the machine that had a camera inside of a box behind it. So, you know, knowing that there was two parts, he brought that back into the bank and said, "Oh, and here's the camera that's taking everybody's picture." And the bank manager said, "Ooh, maybe we should shut that ATM machine down now."
Oh, man.
Yeah, like that's how clueless they are. You know, that's where they're coming from. So if the bank manager is that clueless and the public is getting, you know, raked over the coals, you know, the, I, have a strong and stern warning, people out there. You have to pay close attention to these things because people are getting bilked every single day, and this is like one of the easiest crimes to commit, and it's actually one of the hottest crimes to get caught for. So look for protruding devices on the face of the ATM. A protruding device would be, you know, something over the card slot that just doesn't look like it belongs there. If you can pull something off the face, like with it's two-sided tape or Velcro, that's obviously a red flag. If you see a brochure holder on the side of the ATM machine, or even what we did was we put a mirror on the face of our ATM machine, just like they did in New York, and inside a box behind it was a small camera, and you could pull it off with Velcro. And so if you see like a mirror or a brochure holder that may have a small camera in it, investigate it, look at it. The best thing you can actually do, like what is fail-safe, even if they get the information off the magnetic strip, if you cover your pin while you're punching it in, well, they're going to have a much harder time turning that data into cash. Because if they don't have your PIN code, they can't withdraw money from your account. So I recommend that as you're punching in your PIN code, you literally cover up the PIN code with your hand. So you cup your hand over the PIN while you're punching it in. You'll make it that much harder for them to turn it into money.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a great idea. And here's the other thing. So many people are going on eBay, for example. I have a ton of friends who get stuff on eBay. And I even asked Matt Johnson, our technical maestro, about that. And he gets on and uses debit cards and everything when he's ordering online. Should we be worried about all this and numbers getting ripped off through eBay or Craigslist or any of those things?
There are plenty of criminal hackers out there that are attacking databases that have our information, our credit card numbers and our debit card numbers. So consider your information already compromised. I mean, there have been 450 million records compromised just in the past few years alone. So here's the deal. This is what I recommend. And have you ever got one of those letters in the mail saying that your debit card or your credit card was compromised and
yes,
they sent you a new card?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got three of them in the past couple of years, and many, many people have. So, you know, being that that's the case, what you have to do, you can't protect the card, because every time you give it out over the phone, email, online, in person, wait a waitress, gas station attendant, every time you give it out, there's a chance it's going to get compromised. So really, all you can do is reactively pay close attention to your statements, and I mean like every week. You have to go online, look at your statement, look at the charges, look at the withdrawals, make sure they were authorized by you. If they weren't, then it was a criminal hacker. So you have to pay close attention. Because if you don't pay close attention, the bank's not going to pay close attention for you. I have a friend right now who's fighting with MasterCard because money was taken out of her bank account because somebody skimmed her, and she didn't notice it for 45 days.
Oh.
And they're not giving her the money. Like, they're just not giving her the money. So you have to pay close attention to your statements.
Yeah.
And what I recommend that people do, you know, is you know, protect your identities. Go online to Intellius.com. It's Intellius.com. Invest in identity theft protection. And
oh,
see
great.
Me online at ID Theft
Great
Security.
Stuff, Robert. Intellius.com.
Lynn, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-257-7201. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. 1-800-257-7201.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
If you like vitamins, say, ILikeVitamins.com.
Vitamin lovers, it's your choice. Take pills and capsules with only about a 10 to 20% absorption rate, or take 10-in-1 liquid vitamin and mineral supplement at up to a 98% absorption rate. Yes, 10 formulas in one bottle. 10-in-1 liquid supplement is in your system in as little as 3 minutes.
Just shake it and take it.
Go to ILikeVitamins.com now and see our amazing video. 10-in-1 contains 23 essential vitamins, trace minerals, goji berry, acai, mangosteen, pomegranate, shisam, Andraseed extract, rhodiola, lycopene, aloe, CoQ10, amalaki, and much more. All that and saves money, too. Now you can get a 1-month supply for only $29.97, plus shipping and handling. 10-in-1 great-tasting liquid supplement is equal to taking up to 5 different products and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to ILikeVitamins.com. That's ILikeVitamins.com. Or call 256-444-8000. 256-444-8000. Distributors wanted. Details at ILikeVitamins.com.
It's what he goes there for, is to unlock the door. All around him criticize and say, and through a fractal on a breaking wall, I see you, my friend, and touch your face again. Miracles will happen as we dream.
Fly the friendly skies. He wasn't worried about ATMs and his PIN number being stolen. He was worried about whether or not he was going to get a flight to Los Angeles. Now, Kevin Smith is actually a well-known director. Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, Dogma, Scream 3. He's been involved with a ton of different things, even a little bit of television he dabbled in or did cameos in. And he's got a new movie coming out. It's called Cop Out. Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan's actually star in it. But he made headlines not for his films or his friendships with and adventures in movie making with Ben Affleck and some of the other people that he puts continuously in his films. He made headlines because he was tweeting about Southwest Airline, saying, "Southwest, go F yourself. I broke no regulations, offered no safety risk. What was I going to roll on a fellow passenger?" They apologized. They offered him a $100 voucher. What happened was he bought two seats. There was an earlier flight. They tried to get him on, and they had one seat, gave him the seat, but then the thing with the armrest couldn't come down. I guess he was too big. So they booted him off the plane. And this becomes the question. Are big people being discriminated against? Are the airlines hurting for coin? What's the scoop here? Are the seats getting smaller? The people getting bigger? I'll tell you this. I do think it is a little bit of that. The seats are smaller because they're trying to cram more in, and people are definitely getting bigger. We talk about that with the whole obesity thing. So in the case of Smith, and I've seen pictures of him, we try to figure out, I mean, who knows how much the guy weighs. If it's a weight deal, he's, you know, maybe 300 pounds. But he doesn't, I don't know, I guess in my mind, he just doesn't look ginormous. In my head, I have this idea of how someone would just look way, way too big or be too big. And he doesn't seem to look that way, but those seats are probably pretty thin seats, pretty small seats on Southwest. So he gets the boot, and as a result of that, there's discussion about lawsuits and fat people and what is a fat person and what is too fat to fly, and ooh, it's ugly. In fact, the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance, it's a real group, they're calling for a boycott of Southwest Airlines. They threw out a statement telling people of size to seek out and travel airlines that don't have discriminatory policies. I mean, it is a fair or foul. What do you say, America? Is it foul to pretty much tell somebody, if you're not this weight, if this one armrest doesn't come down, you got to buy two seats. If there's not two seats, you are out of here because we cannot accommodate you. They are definitely walking down a very, very thin line. I don't know what's going on in the skies, too, by the way, because there's a couple of other things that happened on the same weekend where Smith was kicked off that flight from actually Oakland to Burbank because he couldn't fit in his seat, and he was sending out a bunch of tweets, and then the airline had to apologize. On Sunday, a couple was kicked off a plane because they were stuck on the ground for 2 hours. And what did they do? Well, the husband kept asking for a cup of water. His wife was 7 months pregnant and desperately in need of some water. They wouldn't give it to them. And they finally decided, oh, you're too much of a pain in the rear end. We're going to beat you off the plane. So they had a little bit of a nightmare on their hands. Then this story happens to Mitt Romney. It's been bizarre what's happened in the air lately, especially the past couple of days. He's on a plane, the former presidential candidate. He's with his wife. He was leaving Canada with her after going to the Winter Olympics. And he was sitting in the economy section waiting for the plane to take off. And all of a sudden, he gets attacked. A man sitting in front of his wife dropped a seat back, and when Romney asked him to move it upright for takeoff, the man became physically violent. It depends on whose description you believe, but he tried to hit Romney, tried to smash Romney in the face. There were people that said that coming off of the plane, and he didn't retaliate. The crew immediately swooped in and restrained him, took care of it. The plane had to go back to the gate so that they could detain the guy. What is happening? Now, I'm no stranger to this thing with the seats. I told the story once before. I was flying back from Dallas on a holiday. I think it was Christmas holidays. I had to go through O'Hare. Went to O'Hare, got back on the plane. Two guys were sitting next to me. They were both great, friendly, chit-chatting. We're all reading the sports page. And the guy in front of me does the same thing. His seat flies back, and I don't know why, but the seat was like practically on my lap. And the guy next to me gets upset and tells him, you need to move that seat up. And then the guy kind of has words back with him, and he takes his book, the guy sitting next to me, and slaps him on the head. I mean, he has the sports page and this book in the one hand, and it was probably something he picked up in an airport. I don't know. You know, one of those in-between hardcover books, and he plopped him on the head. Thought, oh, please. I just said to him, look, we're all good here. I got to get back to Jersey. Let's not have any problems. And so it settled down, and it was okay, and he didn't have to get off the plane. So I've seen that happen before. In this case, taking a swing at Romney. What an idiot. And then I'm thinking to myself, why is Mitt Romney flying economy? Doesn't he have, like, a gazillion dollars? There's probably a way to avoid this. So you better pack your patience and everything else if you're flying anytime soon, because there's three different examples, and two of the people happen to be well known. But the couple, they were just a regular couple sitting there. She's 7 months pregnant. He keeps asking for water because they're stuck for 2 hours. And then they finally just say, you know what, just get off this plane. And I got to think that there's going to be serious, of all of the things that I talked about, I have to think there has to be serious blowback probably on that one. And then you have American Airlines wanting to charge us, what is it, $8 to have a pillow. And they wonder why people aren't so crazy about flying anymore. You don't know what you're going to encounter when you get to the airport, and then even when you get on the aircraft, you have no idea. And it used to be a whole different ball game. Remember back in the good old days, pre what Bin Laden did to us, and your family could actually go to the gate, and you maybe haven't seen him in a long time, and it's exciting, and everyone's there, and they greet you, and you walk down to the baggage. Somebody else is circling around in the car. Boy, those days are so gone, my friends. Half the time, you have to catch a train or you have to catch a taxi or whatever mode of transportation, because it's not worth it for the people, frankly, to pick you up, because you don't know what you're going to encounter, how long it's going to take you, especially if you're in a much bigger area. Speaking of not knowing what you're going to encounter, I would think that the president has to rally the troops. On February 25th, there's going to be this transparent meeting that's taking place between the Democrats, some of the Democrats and the Republicans, that will be on C-SPAN. It's that effort of bipartisan cooperation that the president suddenly is extremely interested in. But it may be a little bit too late because of the fury over several things that continues to bake and broil out there, and that's health insurance reform. And now you have Senator Bob, very popular centrist Democrat who had been in office 2 terms for, in Indiana, representing Indiana. And he was also on the short list, no question about it, as the one of the possible VP candidate prospects. But now he steps in front of the mic, says he's not going to do this third term, and he gives the Republicans a chance to pick up a Senate seat in the November elections. So the departure of Bob creates a huge exodus from Congress with Democrats and Republicans. You had the Chris Dodd thing, which I think he knew the curtain was coming down on him. He did. I mean, I don't believe he was going to win his seat back, and had all kinds of mysterious things that people were questioning, ethical things. You have Patrick Kennedy from Rhode Island, same thing. Boom, he's like, I'm not doing it again. So that's it. So no more Kennedys are going to be on the Capitol. And now you have this announcement that all of a sudden has just sprung up. And you can see that voter anger over the, not just the health care, a high unemployment numbers, federal deficits, the banking industry's bonuses got under the skin of so many across America that in Washington it was like they had blinders on and didn't realize, okay, what do? We got to figure out a way to solve this. We're just going to figure this out. Oh, geez, we didn't put any clauses as to paybacks and accountability and where is the money going. Oh, here, just take this giant check of money and whatever you do with it, oh, you're going to use it to pay bonuses. I really think that was the thing that sent people originally over the ledge. So this Democrat leaving is huge, and this is on the heels. What was it, 3 weeks ago? That you had Scott Brown and his big win to take Teddy Kennedy's former seat in Massachusetts. That ends the Democrats' 60-vote supermajority. And, man, you got to think that Democrats are worried on the Hill, really, both in the House and in the Senate. What say you, America? 800-259-5791. Meet you on the flip side.
From the ancient lost book of Tobias, we read,
Then the angel said to him, Take out the entrails of the fish and lay up his heart and his gall and his liver for thee, for these are necessary for useful medicines.
This passage tells how livers of fish were important to man's health then and are now. Green Pasture Products, a family-owned business, provides high-quality sacred food oils made in the same way they've been made throughout history prior to 1850, with fermentation.
Cold fermented cod liver oil from Green Pasture is rich in vitamins A, D, E, K, omega-3, omega-9s, and more. But no man-made nutrients, only what the fish provides. Green Pasture products are clean, independently tested for impurities, made in the USA, and come in capsules or liquids. For more information and a 20% discount off of first orders, visit greenpasture.org and be sure to enter coupon code RADIO at checkout. Hurry, 20% discount only good through March 31st. Or call 402-858-4818. That's 402-858-4818. Call Green Pasture Products today.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Okay, so you're sitting there listening to your favorite radio program, and all of a sudden, you hear GetTheTea.com. What the? GetTheTea.com? Then you think to yourself, I don't drink tea. Now for the truth. Many people don't drink tea, but they drink energy drinks, colas, juices from concentrates, which all carry high levels of sugar and caffeine. Sugar is a toxin. Sugar does not help you, nor does caffeine. Your colon could be clogged, causing dangerous consequences. This is why GetTheTea.com will help. Specially formulated by a PhD to remove harmful toxins from your body. Lose weight naturally and clean the system in your body and feel more energy. Order now at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or you can call now at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. No tea works like GetTheTea.com.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me. I will write you a song.
So how long has it been since we've mentioned the word swine flu on this show? I'm thinking if I went back into the archives, it's probably about a month or so. So is this H1N1 fading but not necessarily gone? I looked at a statistic today. The overall death toll, 17,000. The virus might have killed as many, they say, as 17,000. This is something new from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta. So when they come up with that number, the confirmed deaths linked to swine flu is nowhere near that, right? Hello, where have we all been? There's no 17,000 number. The confirmed deaths are 2,400 plus, a little bit over that. And that actually what the CDC is saying, that they think the number is really closer to 8,300 and just over 17,000 people who actually have died from it, because the majority of the people who died were 18 to 64 years old, between, you know, the 17 and younger who died from the flu. So if you compare the numbers and a regular flu season, they believe, health officials, that the reported numbers of people who have been hospitalized and died only are a partial picture of the full outbreak. An underreporting of influenza and deaths is common, especially in the early weeks or months of an outbreak. Does that not seem asinine to you? Well, let's see. On the books, we have 2,498 confirmed deaths linked directly to the swine flu. But, hey, those numbers could be bogus because we're all very good in any governmental office at throwing out a guesstimate. So we think some people slipped through the cracks, perhaps up to 17,000. There is a big difference between those two numbers and the leap in between. The stories of the people who died are very, very sad. Very sad. But how this was blown up and presented and the fear that it set off in so many people, oh, should you get vaccinated? What about the vaccine? Is the vaccine going to be available? Oh, it's only going to be, it's really pregnant women and children and the super elderly. They've got to be able to have it. You know, it sounded like a scene from Outbreak. So by mid-July, if you remember, the World Health Organization recommended that everybody who had flu-like symptoms, everybody, that they, you know, they needed to do something about it. So patients were diagnosed only based on symptoms. And there were all kinds of strains, just the various influenzas that you would get. And only severe cases of flu, naturally, they put you in a hospital bed. Or if you're close to death, of course. So there is no exact numbers, what they're trying to tell us. And they don't believe the number recorded is right, that in fact it's much too low, much too low. And that really an average of 57 million people have been infected with the swine flu. And they're still pushing people who haven't gotten a vaccination to do so. So let me ask you this, Mr. and Mrs. Public. Are you concerned about H1N1? Do you think that this is these underestimated totals that are on the books, that it should be the inflated number of 17,000? Are you concerned? Are you running out to go and get that shot? Are you running out to get that swine flu vaccination? I'm telling you right here, raising my hand. I know you can't see it, but it's up in the air. Trust me. I am not getting and have not even considered getting an H1N1 shot. And we have had doctors on all sides and all the way around this talking about the vaccine itself, talking about things that happened in the past, talking about the inflated cases and numbers and things that were out there. I have seen some of the sad stories on 60 Minutes, on HBO Real Sports, and it's awful. It's awful to see a young kid laying there in a hospital bed who somehow got the virus. But I have to say, why are they pushing us to get the vaccine? Because I think it's pretty much all been enveloped into different forms of influenza, do different things to different people. And perhaps it's the fact that they called it a pandemic and it didn't live up to the pandemic label that really has the health officials concerned that they don't have enough people out there getting vaccinated. I mean, come on. So if you are thinking of getting one or you're concerned about H1N1, I want to hear from you. 800-259-5791. Remember how bad it got? Like even in Texas and in New York, they closed. Now, in New York, they had that one school where a lot of the kids got it who went on trips to Mexico. They went on a trip to Mexico. I get that. But in the Texas schools, they had somebody down the road who was infected with it, and they were concerned about it. So there was this big fury and worry and concern over the swine flu, and pretty much it's all but gone away, other than this crazy statement by the CDC that the numbers aren't accurate, and really you need to go and have a vaccination, that if you were smart, you would go and get the vaccination. And I think, call me cynical, but I think there's something more behind this, and no thank you. So, and is it gone? Is this something that's come and gone, and it's done? The number of cases, announced by the WHO itself, they say, is declining. It's declining, the numbers. So some people are still dealing with it, like North Africa, Eastern Asia, Western Africa. They've got cases that are cropping up there. But the number of overall deaths across the world, well, now where we have the CDC saying it could be up to 17,000 in the United States, but the official number across the world, I'm saying, look at the globe, spin it around, I'm saying every nook, cranny, 15,000. 15,000 confirmed deaths worldwide. And they say that there's still more could come, so, you know, they don't know the definitive number, but the World Health Organization is not going to say anything about the pandemic. They're not saying whether it's over or not. At the end of the month, a committee of scientists are going to huddle up and figure out whether we've entered into what they call a transitional period, which indicates that the end of the outbreak is near, that they'll say, okay, the end of it's near. In the meantime, you have countries who are talking about having too much of the vaccine, wink, wink, and 95% of the countries are still interested in getting the vaccine. So instead of pushing the Americans to get the vaccine, why not get that vaccine to some of the North African countries who now need it because they've had outbreaks, or in Eastern Asia, or in Western Africa, or wherever you're seeing this crop up. I mean, give me a break, because any flu vaccination, but swine flu too, there can be side effects. There can be, in some cases, a serious side effects, including that GB syndrome that's happened to a few people, where it attacks their spine and then their nervous system. And this is extreme. And it results in paralysis and difficulty breathing. That is scary to me. And yes, it's very, 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 very rare. But if the numbers are where they are, then why is the push for us? Why did all this panic and mayhem get to us? And now they've got this overpriced vaccine that they can't seem to give away. And then these other countries say they need it. I'd say it's politics of a different sort. You can send me your thoughts anytime, day or night, americatonight.net.
I'm not back in 5 minutes. Just wait longer.